unlimited power in the human mind. In a generation full of these kinds of things where everybody has been taught how to make it, there are principles and steps to making it in life. And these principles have helped many achieve a level of success. In the height and the apex of this new creation reality, I want to teach a message that is very, very sensitive and very central tonight. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In case you came to write, the title of my message is The Spirit of the Age. The Spirit of the Age. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. So, and be not conformed to this world. And be not conformed to this world. You see, brothers and sisters, the line between the system of God's kingdom and the system of the world is so thin. And it's important for me to make us aware and to make us understand the dealings and the operations. Sit, why are you leaning on the floor? Come, sit down where that was sat. Therefore, once you drop your phone, just come and sit down here. Why am I being on your case? It's because I love you. Praise God. The spirit of the age. You see glow saying things like, rule your world. Praise God. Now, listen. One of the errors I want to correct in the teachings of the new creation reality is a violation of a statement that Jesus himself made. I know that he has told us that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto us. And we know that we are one with Christ. We know that we are seated in heavenly places. We are the righteousness of God. We are holy. We are blameless. But brothers and sisters, there is an error. And I have observed from the realm of the Spirit that many churches and many ministries are beginning to pick this error from the realm of the Spirit. And they are incorporating it into their new creation reality. And it's leading people into error. And that error is called the spirit of the age. There is a spirit that began to watch, catching young men, young ministers, old ministers, all alike. It comes in the form of a new creation reality. And it's subtly getting people into points where we do not recognize what we call dependence on the Holy Spirit. John 15. It's changing everything in obedience to God. Hallelujah. The disciples had walked with Jesus and they had seen the demonstration of raw power. They had seen the demonstration of the anointing of God. He had turned stones to bread. He had fed 5,000 people using 5 loaves and 2 fish. He had done all kinds of things, walked on water. They were so astonished at the life of this. He was not just a miracle worker. His life was a miracle itself. His daily work. And so they began to be very inquisitive. They asked him at a point, they said, what shall we do to walk the works of Jesus? What shall we do to produce this kind of your result? And so he had been working with them for a while. And he noticed at a point they were so confident. Remember the two brothers who, when they rejected Jesus from entering a city, they said, Jesus, give us permission. Let's call fire down. So they had been with him. They had the spirit of Elijah burning in them. They said, don't give us permission. Let's burn these people to ashes. And Jesus was watching them. They were so confident because Jesus had sent them as the 12 and he sent them as the 70. And they went and said, Jesus, we have gist for you. If you see how devils were being casted. And Jesus said, wow, impressive. He was just running the people to see how the Great Commission would happen. And he was so impressed that they came back with results. And he began to notice that they were so confident. How many of you remember that at a point when they wanted to see Jesus, they passed through them and they said, no, they cannot see Jesus. When the children came to see Jesus, they said, he's busy, he's doing ministry. You guys should just wait. They started gaining confidence as they were working with him. You know, they were multiplying the bread. They were the rulers of the whole Roman Empire. They were working with an invincible person, unbeatable, a superman called Jesus. And at a point, Jesus spoke something very powerful. John 15. This is very important for everyone listening, every minister, everywhere. This is very, very important. I am the true vine. Stop. Did you hear that? That it wasn't an opinion. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Not your pastor, not your church, not your miracle worker, not your man of God. Don't be confused about it. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring more fruit. So shut your mouth when you see somebody going through a challenge. Don't be the first to open your mouth and say his faith is not working. You don't know what level he is in the spirit and what God is pruning out of him. We're in a generation where we've been taught that if anything faulty goes on with your life, is that there's something wrong with your faith. I want to tell you that is true, but is the realm of babes. When you rise to a higher realm, you will understand that except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. There are realms in the spirit. Just like a little child, you tell him 1 minus 2, he says it cannot, and you clap for him and give him speech and praise. But when it comes to form 2, and he says 1 minus 2, and you say he cannot, he's going to repeat that class because he was taught a new topic called number line. Grow up. There is a realm. The Bible talked about faith people, and it talked about women who received their dead back to life. But it talked about others too that seemingly didn't get results, and it combined all and called it faith. So be careful. Don't be the first to open your mouth and see if somebody going through a challenge and begin to conclude and say things about his life. That's why the Bible says, do not judge, for you will be judged. You do not know. The spiritual man is like a wind. We were designed not to be predicted. Jesus said, a time they will tell you, physician, heal thyself. And when they saw Jesus marching to the cross, they said, we are confused. This guy is confusing us. Didn't you raise the dead? And this and Herod told him this. Do you know that that was Pilate. Pilate told him that, do you know I have the power to set you free? And Jesus looked at him. He provoked Jesus. Jesus had to talk. He said, look, no man has any power except he's given us. He's given us to him by my Father. And here Jesus is writing. All right, let's read. He said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. This is very important. Abide in me and I in you. Please listen. Abide in me. How many of you want to walk in signs and wonders? I'm giving you a revelation that will help you tonight. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Notice the word. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. In other words, a branch without the vine is powerless. As a branch cannot bear fruit in itself. Except it abide with the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5 is my verse of emphasis. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Look at me. Who are you? He didn't say, I know that you've read that you are one with Christ. Let me tie a loose end in your new creation reality. You are not a core vine. You are called branch. The spelling of vine starts with V. branches be, you are not the same. You are one with Christ. Listen, you are equal with Him, meaning you can represent Him, but you are not equal to Him. You cannot replace Him. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to correct an error that I call the spirit of age.
All right, let's continue.
He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Don't be confused. What is the branch? The branch means the fruit-bearing part of the vine. So I am the vine. You are the fruit-bearing part of me.
All right?
And he said, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Can we read the last sentence together? One, two, go. Read it like people that have life. One, two, go. Who was speaking? An angel. New creation people. The founder of the new creation experience is talking. So listen to him. He said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Think it into your mind. Anointed men and women, saints of God. For without Jesus Christ, without the Spirit of God, when he says without me, he's not saying without giving me your life. Are you listening? He's not talking of new creation and new birth. For without total, absolute dependence on me. That's the word there. When he says for without me, he doesn't mean I am born again. So this scripture is not talking to me. For without absolute, total surrender and dependence upon me, you can do nothing. Now, here's what the spirit of the age is saying. The spirit of the age is saying there's a giant in you. That giant is big. When you bring out that giant, you can build a company. When you bring out that giant, you can do anything. When you bring out that giant, you can wave your hands and everybody gets slain in the spirit. And while it is correct, because the Bible says there is this treasure. But I ask you, what is the treasure? In that story, you are not the treasure, you are the earthen vessel. Read that scripture properly and know who is the treasure and who is the earthen vessel. Please, I don't plan to insult your new creation reality. I'm a new creation person. Praise God. But in our quest for greatness, for bringing out the giant in us, for tapping into the unlimited power of the mind. Many of you have read books about mind. It tells you that there are several things in your mind. You can bring out, pull a company in your mind. You can pull a ministry in your mind. You can work with people. You can do many things. Now, while these things are correct, but it's incomplete. And the incompleteness itself makes it wrong. Because it leads men to a point of self. And this is the agenda of the spirit we call the spirit of the Antichrist. The number 666 is not some kind of demonic symbol, some kind of thing. 6 is the prophetic number for a man. So 666 is the trinity of the devil. A man who wants to be God all by himself. The first 6 stands for Satan himself. The second 6 stands for the Antichrist who mimics himself to be Jesus. And the third 6 stands for the false prophets who try to be the Holy Spirit. The devil has been a deceiver. He has tried to be God. So the 666 is the number of the satanic trinity who are mimicking the trinity of God. 6 stands for the prophetic number of a man. Are you understanding this teaching? Am I blessing you? And so, this is the spirit that is initiated into the church. So that gradually you see that people begin to shift from absolute dependence. Nobody teaches about absolute dependence on Jesus Christ again. Nobody teaches about, you see men who want to come and heal the sick or cast out devils. You see them investing personal effort in making this thing happen. You see that they are trying to teach well. They pray in tongues not because they want to heal themselves. They simply want to steal out the anointing from the Holy Spirit. And so men have looked for ways independent of the Spirit. I have thought about tongues. I'm the first to make sure a new creation person gets filled with the Holy Ghost. But many people have been taught that the way you pray in tongues only to energize your spirit. And when the more you pray in tongues, the more anointed you become. So the selfishness of many people have compelled them to go into the place of prayer. Because they propose themselves, if God can do it, there's a giant in me. And I must do it too. And they begin to lock themselves 3 hours per day. It looks spiritual, but it's an infiltration of the spirit of the age. It looks like a new creation reality. But it's an infiltration of the spirit of the age. Because you are trying to just use the Holy Spirit. And so you begin to buy books about many people who you feel they have used the Holy Spirit. And map out the principles on how they did it. It's the spirit of the age. Do not be conformed to this age. Now the Greek word that is used for world and age in many, many parts of the Bible is called cosmos. It talks about the social system. But in this scripture, it's not cosmos. It's a Greek word called aeon. Aeon means the pattern of the age. The way of doing things. The system. Not just the people. Paul is saying there is a system that is infiltrating this age. Do not allow yourself to be conformed to that image. Praise God. A point where men no longer depend on the Holy Spirit. You don't even hear them talk about the Spirit of God. The seal is a kite. All you hear them talk about is the anointing and the greatness in you. Praise God. Gone are the days when you see people yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. Now people do. I remember there was a time shortly after the Pantheon Crusade, I went back to minister what do they call it? Holy Ghost something that redeemed do. A night vigil or so, a program that they do in the various churches, night vigil. And I went to minister there. And the minister, everybody was trying to display the little grace upon his life and the rest. And I just sat down, I was watching. And the Spirit of God was telling me flesh. And one of the ministers got up and just found one innocent lady and called her. And when he finished saying some things, he said that the power of God is going to come upon her for a good 2 minutes. What is the relevance of that experience to her life and to the people? Ministry is about people, not yourself. Because I had come from somewhere and I just finished a crusade 1 week ago. Everyone was trying to show that, look, us too, don't think because we didn't do the crusade. And I sat down, I was watching them. And he got up and he said, without touching her, he's going to speak. And he spoke, nothing happened. The lady closed her eyes and then at a point he shifted near her. He began to feel embarrassed because it looked like his word would not happen. And then at a point he touched her with a finger. He said he added one more finger. I was just watching. He's a man. It's called the spirit of the age. And then at the long run, she said moving down. It looks like he's spiritual, isn't it? Because if they actually move, that must have been the anointing of the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
There is the infiltration of the Spirit of the age upon the sons of people, the sons of men. And this is why I want to bring your mind. I want to bring your spirit to this consciousness. Hallelujah. Every spirit that does not say Jesus is Lord is not of God. It doesn't mean that every spirit that does not work with the motivation that Jesus will be crowned Lord is not the Spirit of Christ. And so this is very important because there's no time. We are in a generation of people, young people like me, vibrant and anointed. It's amazing how they build empire for themselves. And you see that even though they call Holy Spirit and do many things, they fully do not treasure the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When a man looks at a man who truly fears God, a man who knows the mystery of the secret place, they will know the difference between you and the grace upon your life. If men cannot see that, there is something wrong. You should be able to see my life. I'm not saying God doesn't glorify people, no. But you should be able to see my life and know that fully. If it's not because of the anointing upon this guy's life, he will not be the way he is. God will lift me. Remember when Jesus climbed upon that donkey, who matched the clothes that they put on the floor? Was he not the donkey? So the donkey has his own benefit. He benefited. But only as long as the master was on top of the donkey. When the donkey was alone, he was somewhere there, tied. Maybe they wanted to do whatever, I don't know. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Because I've been sharing words. Many of us have been laying hands on people in our rooms and they've been healed. We began to see many tremendous things. Be careful lest you get caught up by the spirit of the age. That spirit that wants to make a man become God by himself is the spirit of the Antichrist. You see it with people. The people are not wrong. They are believers. They've given their life to Christ. But you watch and you see that men do not depend on the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. For many of you who have been taught principles to increase the anointing on your life, look at me. There are many factors that govern increasing the anointing. Praying in tongues is just one. If it were all about praying in tongues alone, some of you will be entering through this wall. Are you listening to me? The anointing of your life is also a function of the assignment that God has given you. That is another factor that governs the kind and level of anointing you work with. The anointing upon your life also depends on your sphere of influence at the moment. You can never be more anointed than the sphere of influence that has been given to you. This is one of the biggest mistakes that field ministers make. The fact that I'm ministering to people here does not give me a guarantee to say, Reinhard Bonnke, step down on that stage and let me go and climb. That is foolishness and childishness of the highest order. This is the reason why when Jesus was on earth, before he died, the anointing that was given to him was for the nation of Israel. And that's why when the other woman who came, who was a Gentile, Jesus said, we shall not give bread that belongs to children, to dogs. And when he was sending out the disciples, he said, don't go anywhere else. Go only to the lost sheep of Israel. Because he was sending them with their word. His word was valid within that region as at that time. Are you listening to me? This is very important. Many people do not understand the sphere of influence. When God wants to bless a man like Jabez, who said, oh God, enlarge my coast. He didn't say, give me more plot of land. That's not what he was talking about. He was saying, increase my sphere of influence. The level that God has brought me now is the level of my sphere of influence. If I understand it and remain faithful in it, the day he wants to bless me, just like he brought me here, he will increase my sphere of influence. And then the anointing will increase to accommodate that level. God does not really call us to shout and pray for more of the anointing. God calls us into the ministry of obedience and faithfulness. That is the greatest secret I know that increases the anointing upon a man's life. Many people want to move when they share with you from Ezekiel the ankle dimension, the waist dimension, the chest, and wherever. You say, I must get all the four. You think it's by confession? You just sit down and say, God, I must enter the four. I must enter the four. I must enter the four. While that is nice, listen to me. I want you to know that sonship is not about speaking. Sonship is demonstrated over a period. Listen, a period. I put time to it. It is, you need to know what Kenyon calls the vital side of redemption and the legal side of redemption. The legal side of redemption is the way it is in the eyes of the Father. For instance, in the eyes of the Father, everybody on earth is supposed to be saved. In the eyes of the Father, everybody is supposed to be walking in the fullness of our blessing. But is that the case? Faith makes the legal become vital at that moment. And sometimes it's faith consolidated by experience. Sonship It's not just gotten because you think you know all the scriptures, or you graduated from a Bible college, and then you say you're a son. Sonship is proven over a period of faithfulness. When you have overcome challenges, you have used your own faith to wrought victory in your life and the life of many. You have walked with the Spirit in obedience and faithfulness over time. And as God increases you, He brings you to a point where you are given the keys. Listen, everything you overcome, you have the keys to make others overcome us in that area. It's a principle in the realm of the Spirit. The moment you overcome in the area of your finances, you are given the keys to bring others out in that area. Until then, you never have the keys. Don't let any man fool you. Are you listening to me? This is very, very important. I'm trying to correct a few things because I want all of us to be faithful ministers. I'm talking about the spirit of the age. And so you need to be careful as you receive new creation words. Our life, that's why the Bible starts by saying, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That is the attitude of a believer. That is the attitude of a minister. I ministered to this lady. It was a fantastic demonstration of God's Spirit. I don't expect everybody to lie down and start worshipping me because I casted out the devil. That is rubbish. This is the man who deserves the glory. He is lifting me because you are not going to call me fake again. If you call me a fake man of God, something is wrong with you. Great God. But I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, that if any man that tries to exalt himself is in a futile quest, it is God that lifts men. And that's why you find out that some people are lifted and they cannot be stopped. They understand that God is the lifter of men. And so many of you who want to grow to levels of the anointing, what have you done with the one that God has given you? How have you affected somebody? Have you proven yourself to be good and faithful? When God gave 5, 2, and 1 talent, until they came and He saw the fruit of their stewardship, and then He rewarded them. You may not be able to lay hands on the sick, but how many people have you given food to eat in your room? Yet you want God to give you a great ministry where everybody can send you text and say, please, send me money, I'm broke. You think you'll be faithful? Or you think ministry is because of the cooler they used to give us after we minister? Brothers and sisters, look at me. Fool, if you are not called, just have God where God is giving you. I'm telling you this. The spirit of the age. That spirit that just moves softly through the new creation teaching and tries to make men become God. That's the spirit that was upon Nimrod. In Genesis 11, Nimrod looked and said, I'm such a great man. By the standard of writers and all these people, that means he had discovered his potential. He has done all these things that I thought about. He was so confident. He said, is he not this heaven? We can do this thing now, people. We are so skilled. I have the best of the people. I have everything. This is what happens. When a ministry has all the people, when a ministry has all the people, all the worshippers, you have the best worshippers in town. You have the best instruments in town. Oh boy, the pastor is such a, he's a prayer machine. He's a word person. You come to the church, you see wheelchairs. At those times, be careful. Because it is at those times that the spirit of the age can creep in. Because of the level of result, anything he says can be right. Because he can always demonstrate it with the anointing. So it takes a level of spiritual aliveness to be able to decipher through this thing. And know that which is of God and that which is not of God. Let me tell you. The characteristic of a true spiritual man is as you rise, men see your absolute dependence on God. I hope you know that it's Paul that taught the church the new creation reality, but at the end of his life, hear his verdict that I may know him. This was Paul. He knew he was seated with Christ. He didn't just know, he was there. He saw it. Paul was caught up in the spirit. He said, I know a man talking about himself who was caught up in the spirit. I don't know whether it was in the body or in the spirit, but he was caught up in the spirit. Many times, Paul had a direct encounter with Jesus Christ. One of the keys of an apostolic call. Direct encounter with Jesus Christ. Yes, the same Paul said that I may know him. He had conquered cities. He had done all kinds of things. Let me tell you, as a man rises higher in the spirit, you see his absolute dependence on God even more. He comes to a point where you see nothing but the Spirit of God moving through a yielded vessel. So you see a mere man doing the deeds of God. You see that in the midst of all these things, they are drawing him with crutches and the rest. I didn't say he's not going to enter a jeep because he's depending on God. Don't mistake me, I'm going to enter one. Praise God. I preached about prosperity here. I believe in prosperity from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I've taught you about the principles. But that in the midst of these things, you see a man who is dependent. Many people refuse to receive the blessings of God. They think they are demonstrating that they are dependent. They are not, they are proud. They think it's humility. So somebody comes to bless him and he says, me, let God be praised. That's not what I'm talking about. That is childishness, arrogance, and rejecting the blessings of God. I used to have a lot of problem collecting seeds from people, honestly. When people come to bless my life, I used to really have a problem with it. But one day God told me that, remember, this is how you got blessed. And so when you don't accept your seed and bless them, you are stopping my people from being blessed. Brothers, there is one God, there is one Lord, there is one Spirit. Say it after me. One God, one Lord, one Spirit. One more time. One God, one Lord, one Spirit. This is very important. So Jesus started that statement by saying, I am the true vine. They are very... Do you know Jesus was an epitome of humility? Because he didn't hide it. He said, it's not you, I'm the one. He said, I am the true vine. We are going to pray. This teaching is very important. Because this is one of the things that God has been helping me. Let me tell you something. This teaching may not make sense to you when you are at certain low levels of life. When you begin to experience the prosperity of God on all sides. Ministry is working. I went somewhere and I ministered where me, Jake, and Jennifer, you know, they went with me to minister in Kaduna. That was the last ministration. And after I finished that ministration, the power of God that littered that environment, the residue of the anointing was so much. The next day when they came, the pastor was confused. Because people were falling from the reports they gave me. People were falling. People were just under the anointing. The choir came peacefully to rehearse. The whole people just scattered for days. When you begin to walk at this level of life, brothers and sisters, where you move, many of you have seen different kinds of demonstrations, where your clothes and the materials in your body carry the anointing. Be careful. That is the point where if you are not dependent on the spirit of the age will begin to creep in. This is what happened to many of you who have read God's General. How many of you know a man called Alexander Dewey? That is what happened to him. He came to such a point. He was going to buy Jerusalem and drive everybody out of it. That was the origin of the city you call Zion City. Because the people were not holy. Wanted to just pack everybody out and return the Garden of Eden. He was so zealous. And he was very happy. But he got to a point. He was walking in such a level of grace that men began to say, don't you think you are Elijah? And it didn't make sense to him at first. No, I'm a servant of God. But when he was rising, he looked like nothing will happen now. But when he was rising, he got to a point where he went to go and sew Elijah's garment. And he said he was Elijah. Now watch the irony. He went to Canada at a particular point. And there was no rain. There was drought. And they said, you claim you're Elijah. Pray and let rain come.
Lettering come.
Prayer and lettering come. And then, when he prayed, do you know what happened? Within minutes, there was a heavy downpour. Did that mean he was Elijah?
No.
Let me tell you the secret. He had already gotten access to the keys of the heavenly. The heavenlies had to respond. It's not the issue of whether he was Elijah or not. He had passed that stage in the spirit. I told you, when you overcome, keys are given to you. This is why a man can get up from the bed of fornication and go and perform mightily upon a crusade ground. Hallelujah. Am I blessing somebody? And that is what ruined his life, because he claimed he was Elijah. Some people are not even claiming they are Elijah, they are claiming they are God. Example, Guru Maharaj. You are laughing at them. At least they openly did their own. There are others that are not openly showing, but that's what they are showing from their life. The way they treat the people in their ministry, the way they treat themselves, it amazes me the way I see certain people behave. And then when I hear other people comment about their life, they say, this guy is so humble and dependent on God. I said, if they give me room to make a speech, God gave me a mouth. And God knows what I can do with that mouth.
I will use it adequately.
Not sparing anything. I don't condemn, like Tunde Bakare, but I don't condone. Praise God. The spirit of the age. You are a champion. I've sent many of you text messages like that. We are life-giving spirits. But I want to let you know that the source of your strength is not your mind. Look at me. This is one of the things that all these voodoo and yoga try to do. They try to explore the power of the mind. All the people that God worked with, the first thing was to crumble the confidence they had in their mind. First of all, many of you, it's your mind that has stopped you from loving God. Now, I'm not rejecting the mind. The mind is a very pivotal part, even in miracles. But I'm trying to tell you that every time you sense yourself becoming God by yourself, there is a problem. And anytime you are ashamed to let people know that it's all about you, many people think that when they openly say it, it will drive men back and people will disrespect them. And so they said, after all, I'm an ambassador. The devil wanted to be an ambassador in heaven. Ask him what happened. When you are in U.S., you don't become an ambassador here. You are only an ambassador when you leave U.S. But when Obama is there, and you see Obama check out of the White House, who voted you? Praise the Lord. I will never cease to say, if they like, they should put posters, Bishop, Pope, Joshua Selman. Let them draw me and two dead men by my left and my right. Or let them draw me with a halo. Let me tell you the truth. I know it is not by power, it is not by might. But I will never come to a point in my life. If you notice sometimes when I minister, at the end of an awesome demonstration of God's Spirit, I let the people know He's here. I found it as the greatest formula for lifting. You see, when you learn that, it will help you to be submissive to the Spirit of God. So many people just say, Holy Spirit, I want more anointing, so I love you. I'm fasting. You are my all in all. You are my this. You are my this. When they get the anointing, they say, all right, thank you very much. And they begin to feud. They begin to do all kinds of things. And the day they find out that they are embarrassed because their expectations were not met in a meeting, they call it retreat. It's a selfish retreat. They go back and say, that source of my strength, I come back to you. What? The Holy Spirit is a real person. Hear me. The Holy Spirit is not a Nigerian actor. It's a real person. You don't come and cajole him with sweet words and calling him darling and do what and lie down and say, use me. It's not true. Many people, what they are meaning is, just come and let me use you. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not they that lead the Spirit of God, they that are led. Jesus made a statement, rise up on your feet. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can never have a successful life. Without me, without my spirit, not just my anointing, without absolute total yieldedness. Absolute total yieldedness. Not yieldedness that is a function of situation and circumstance. Absolute total yieldedness. We are going to be praying. We are going to be praying and we are going to be telling him, Lord, this is not a prayer of getting born again. But you're going to tell him, Lord, I yield to your spirit. Absolutely. I yield to your spirit. I separate myself from the spirit of the age. That spirit that attempts to make men become God by themselves. That spirit that attempts to make men become God by themselves. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men to myself. We are ushers, drawing men from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous kingdom of light. We are not God. We are one with Him, but we are not Him. You cannot replace God. He is sovereign. He is all God by Himself. It is true that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, but the Bible didn't say Jesus is standing and you are seated. You are one with Him. I'd like you to open your mouth and pray. The spirit of the age, that spirit that makes men become God by themselves. It happened to Nimrod in the Bible. It happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Even Solomon came to a point where he thought he was God all by himself. Dependence, absolute dependence. We are called into a ministry of absolute dependence on the Spirit of God. Not just in the anointing, but we deserve it. The Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And enter into the Spirit of God. Go ahead and pray. And you that you are the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. All about my life. It's all about my everything. It's all about you. Hallelujah. Look at me. Dependence on the Spirit of God is not weakness. Are you listening to me? Dependence on the Spirit of God is that it's your source and sustainer. The Greek word father means my source and sustainer. In other words, I come from you and so I live by your principles. Reject every spirit that brings you to a point where you do not see God as God. I know that God has chosen to reveal himself as friend. But believe you me, he is still God. All by himself. He is sovereign. He is in a class of his own. When Isaiah saw him, Isaiah said the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah, who has been prophesying on behalf of God, when he saw the God he was representing, he fell flat and said, truly, I am undone. But now we don't have to cry that cry of Isaiah. You know why? Because God has brought us into a place where we are one with him. But that is not a guarantee. I see the way many people talk and behave as though the Holy Spirit were their mate. Let me tell you, if you see the list of the angels, you will run from where you are and squeeze yourself near this wall. The list of the angels. I see men who talk and say something. You know, I hear them say things like, God cannot empower your mind. Life is full of principles. Follow the principles. And I say, oh, yet these people have not seen one angel in their life. They've not even seen a mist of cloud, yet they speak error with such audacity. You do not know who the Holy Spirit is. We are going to pray and say, Father, as men look at my life, let them see. Not me, not my ability, not my gift, not my eloquence, not my prowess. Thank you for this. But Lord, let the spirit of the age not find expression in my life. I am an usher leading men into the as you sing, as you play your instrument, as you minister the anointing, as you make the system, that men will know. Hallelujah. 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 You want to see the anointing increase in your life? You want to be a sign and a wonder to men? Learn the spiritual principle of obedience and faithfulness. Don't go and function where God has not empowered you to function. It's one limitation of prostitution. Don't think because you started ministry with somebody and he has gotten to another level, you begin to provoke yourself. You are a spiritual man. It's in the physical that if three of us have spent 3 years and they promote you, they are supposed to promote me. In the realm of the spirit, it's not like that. You can start a journey with a man and 3 days he has been promoted 3 times. Let men look at your life. Let your life be an arrow pointing them into the experience. When you do that, it will amaze you how God will lift you. You will go to places that you never would have gone. Men like Reservan today, he doesn't have the best of voices. But there are many people that think today that have not gone half of where he has gone. Do you know why? Because in spite of the fact that he looks like an aggressive man, he has been able to show people the living Christ. When you see him, you see an expression of a dead man. People like Reinhard Bonnke, how many of you like him? How many of you like the powerful crusades and everything you see? Let me tell you the secret. He has understood. He's a profound new creation man. But every time he's speaking to the sinner, he incorporates himself. He's seated with Christ. He knows that. But he lets the people see that he's not a superhuman person. Every man I know that has lived by this revelation has been an awesome wonder in the areas of the miraculous, in the areas of character. It is when you know that you are a man empowered by the Spirit, that even though you are a man of God, but when you hurt this brother, you can come and tell him, I'm sorry. A God cannot apologize to a man. Are you listening to me? Many people do a lot of things and they are not humble enough. It is because I know that God has empowered me. I can do something wrong and somebody can come and tell me. But when you get to a point in your life where nobody can talk to you about the challenge you are having, you are becoming God by yourself. It looks spiritual. But this was the point where people like Stephen Kuhlman got to. They worked so much with the Spirit, ironically. But they got to this point where the Spirit of the age caught up with them. And even though she was making a wrong decision, and God began to reveal it to the members of their church, they politely came with obedience and humility and said, this is what we are seeing. And we think you should do something about it. She didn't accept it. And one time, God showed her a vision and she saw a branch breaking from a tree. And that was the end. She didn't fall in terms of her anointing ending. She just fell from the height. Brothers and sisters, we must get to points in our life as God is lifting you, whether academically, whether spiritually. When you understand that it is the grace of God, you'll be the first to shut your mouth when you hear that your brother has fallen. when you hear people stand and castigate others and say, I told you, I'm not surprised. It is because they feel they are God by themselves. But a man who knows that if not for the grace of God, when he hears that his brother or sister has fallen, the first step is to run. Run and pick up that person. No matter how dirty the feet of people were, Jesus held that feet with his hand. He didn't wear hand gloves. He held the dirty feet and washed. Ministers, hello. That is what ministry is about. Until then, you are not yet a minister. Even if you are preaching to 2 million people, you are not yet a minister. We must get to points in our lives where it is the compassion of God and this revelation that drives us. We must get to points in our lives where you are not ashamed to go down on your knees. And when the people are looking and say, God, champion, champion, this guy is such a champion, this guy is a legend, this guy is a whatever. You appreciate God for those comments. Where people look and say, this guy, I don't know. And where they are drawing back, they don't even know how to greet you because they see the awe and the glory from your life. This is what happened. When Jesus resurrected, they were running away. And Jesus said, touch me. It's me. I'm the same person. I know I defeated death. But touch me. Why are you running away from me? Come and touch me. I'm the one. The reason why he told the woman, touch me not, is because he had not offered his blood yet. According to Hebrews. But when that was offered, he came back to us. He walked among common men. The two men going to Emmaus, he walked among them. This was the all-conquering Jesus. Are you listening to me, great minister? This was the custodian of the anointing himself. He walked among the men. And at a point, he met people. He said, have you caught any fish yet? How many of our men of God will do that? But this is a man who was all God by himself, but stripped himself of his Godship so that he can lead you to his place. And now that you have just had a bit of revelation about your new creation reality, the whole world will not sleep again. Now, neither am I saying be rude and disrespectful. Brothers and sisters, when you see a man empowered by the Spirit of God, respect that person. If it's easy, get it. Praise God. Because I'm not teaching this so that you just disrespect the grace upon people's lives. There are men and women who have paid prices to get to this level of grace. The price of obedience. The price of faithfulness. God has signed upon their lives. Respect these people. Give them the honor that is due. But as God lifts you, some of you, your roommates are already seeing you now. You came in 100 level together. But right now, they are seeing you as though you are a spirit. And you are very happy about it. You like it. They let them keep you. You are just bouncing. Very soon, if you are not careful, you will be caught up by the spirit of the age. That spirit that makes men run away from you. Because they see you in awe. They see you as Jesus. They see you as everything. And you don't lead them to Christ. You just receive the glory and nod your head. And you are becoming what Satan did. You will get what Satan got. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In 1 minute, lift up your voice and say, Lord, men will see you in my life. I dedicate all I have and all I am for you. For your glory, for your kingdom, my skill, my ability, my money, my talent, my life, my academics, my ambition, my goals, my wisdom, everything that you have given me, I dedicate it unto you. It is in the name of Jesus I dedicate. It is unto you, for your kingdom, for your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, just a minute. Welcome.
Praise God. I want to share something with us. Of recent, the Spirit of God has been giving me revelations and visions concerning several people about the enemy attacking them even in bed, and I think even my own brother too. I was speaking with them in the house, how that my elder brother's wife lost her baby. She was supposed to give birth and she lost the baby, and several other attacks. And just this evening at around 5 p.m. while I was praying, God gave me a very terrific vision, and it was meant for this school. And it was like, in the vision I saw several strange people walking through the school, and they were attacked. I mean, it was like real violence in the school. Several people were killed in the vision. And these people came with the same dress. They were strangers, not from this school. I can't clearly explain to you what that means, but it's a real attack in this school. Amen. And while I was trying to understand it, after the vision was taken away from me, God had to give me a sign. God said, in the season when there'll be an order for add or drop registration. That was the sign God gave me. He said, in the season where there will be an order by the management of the school for add or drop registration. I hope you know there's a time they do that. God said, it is that period that the enemy plans to attack. Some of these things, I don't say it. I literally get afraid sharing some of these things with people. But I know God really wants us to pray. Amen. I don't know, but God wants us to pray. And God was showing me somebody. I don't know who the person is, but I think someone in your family has a very terrible problem with his or her spine back, like this. A very, very terrible one. That person cannot bend like this. I don't know who that person is. God was showing me, and I know God wants us to pray. When God shows revelation like this, it's not because God wants to foretell or predict the future alone, as many people have thought, but God wants to preserve and to save the future. So it's not just that God wants to predict, God wants to save and to preserve. Thank you.
Praise God. I think this is the second. I think a lady or somebody sent me a text like that. Okay. It was Mark, but is that Mark? Okay. He sent me the same text like that, having a dream or a vision he had of violence or things like that. Why does God reveal these things here? Because we have the power to change it. How many of you believe that? We have the power to change. We are going to pray. Many of you want to get your degree, but it is until there is peace before you get your degree, isn't it? By the time there is chaos like this, your GDP and everything is not matter again. You are just running for your life. And we don't want that kind of chaotic situation where people have to run for their life and they are held up there. That's why everybody is running, So don't go to somebody.